Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's always winding upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause this heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning, you are going to hear a message on a simple but yet sophisticated principle found in the Word of God. My sermon is entitled Unity in Plurality, Plurality in Unity. Unity means one or singular, whereas plurality means many or more than one. The Trinity of God is one of many perfect examples of this principle throughout the Scriptures. There are three distinctly different persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet we believe in one God, three in one. This is an enigma or mystery of the divine being of God found in the Holy Scriptures. By understanding and embracing this truth, unity in plurality, plurality in unity, it significantly broadens our horizon in the interpretation of the Word of God. My message this morning could also be subtitled The Twofoldness of Divine Truth. The simplicity with yet the complexity of the Word of God only strengthens our resolve that the Holy Bible is divinely inspired or spoken. The Holy Spirit teaches us through the Apostle Peter, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. One perfect example of the twofoldness of divine truth is found in the formation of the woman from the rib of Adam, and then God rejoins them together to become one flesh in holy matrimony. And then, through procreation, they have offspring that are a DNA replica of mom and dad. Yet they have their own individual identity, unique from their mother and father. This, again, is one of many examples that helps us broaden our understanding and interpretation of the Word of God. Many prophecies in Scriptures have a twofoldness, both a near prophecy and a far prophecy. Or, for example, one prophecy in Scripture will picture both advents of the Lord, His first coming and His second coming. God embeds His principles in the physical world, or sometimes I like to describe it as God stamps His divine truth into His physical creation. In Genesis 1:1, God says, "In the beginning," meaning God created time and He stamped His signature of the Trinity into it with the past, present, and future division of time. Well, the same can be said of the twofoldness of divine truth. Every atom of the physical world is either paired with another atom of the same element, or it is found in a chemical bond with a different atom to form a compound. No atom appears in nature singularly. Let me give you one other example. The New Testament speaks of gifts and prizes or rewards. The importance of rightly dividing the word of truth is rightly dividing passages that speak to gifts such as our eternal salvation versus passages that speak to the call of believers to strive to attain the prize, which is ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ in His millennial kingdom here on this earth. That is why we say on the Crown of Life Baptist Church website and on this radio program, God is calling sinners to the cross, and God is calling believers to the crown. We have to rightly divide what passages are speaking to what proposition. Enjoy the almost unlimited parallels found in the Word of God pertaining to this truth, unity in plurality, plurality in unity. If you missed an episode of this program or would like to re-review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel and please hit the subscribe button. Unity in Plurality, Plurality in Unity, Part 7.
The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord is speaking here. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God thinks on multiple planes. Okay? He thinks on multiple planes. We as human beings are very limited in our thinking. We can't think on the multiple planes and tiers like the Lord. And our thinking is very shallow. And until we get saved, we don't realize the spiritual, right? That's a whole nother plane. It's the spiritual plane. And the evolutionists and those who buy into evolution and the thinking, they're on one plane because they don't see that you have an eternal soul and there's something after death. They can't see that. They are mostly atheists. They ignore that there's even a God. And they can't see that we, man, is created in the image of God. We have a body, soul, and spirit. So we're tripart being, just like the Lord is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God has made us in His likeness. He breathed into man's nostrils. He didn't breathe into the animals' nostrils. And so the animals are only dichotomous. They only have two parts, a soul and a body, and it's not eternal. You and I have eternal bodies, eternal life. And we can have eternal life by embracing the Lord Jesus Christ, or we will be eternally condemned at the second death, which is the lake of fire. And so we are a tripart natural man. So that puts us, helps us to understand that we need to be on multiple planes trying to think the Lord's thoughts and what He has encompassed in the Word of God. Salvation is made up of three parts. Three parts: salvation, justification. We've learned a lot about justification here in this church. We have learned this past summer about sanctification. And then there is glorification. So, in a sense, justification is something that took place in your past. And Pastor Dixon, he preaches this, that there is past tense to your salvation, there is a present tense to your salvation, and there's a future tense to your salvation. Now, let's work backwards for a minute. When you get saved, does your body not die? Does your body not physically die? You die a physical death, right? You get older. People for thousands of years, they get to a certain point, a certain age, and that physical body dies. Right? So even though you got saved, you still die. The physical body does. But you have a soul. And embracing the Lord Jesus Christ and living the life that He has called us to, walking in Christ, there is the salvation of the soul. There's the progressive salvation. It's the walk. It's the salvation in the presence. Salvation in the presence. That's the sanctification process, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, to the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you, just like the Holy Spirit led and guided the Apostle Paul. And then there's the past tense of your salvation, where your spirit was saved in your initial faith in accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your body, when the Bible says, Jesus says, "Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." Well, He's talking to people who are redeemed. So what does that mean, "Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh"? That's speaking about a future day when this physical body will be glorified, and the spirit, body, and soul will come back together again in an eternal state of that you will never die again. Amen? It is. It's fantastic. And so the Lord thinks on all these different planes, and that's how this lesson turns into unity in plurality, plurality in unity. There's so many things, just like the three parts, the three persons of the Trinity, of the Godhead. You have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet they're three in one, yet three different persons. And so the Lord is constantly, and so I don't know if you, I don't know if anybody's studied logic and the patterns of thinking, lateral thinking and vertical, horizontal logic thinking. But unilateral means one-sided or one plane. But lateral speaks of multiple planes of the school of thought. And so we need to understand that God's ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, and things are much different than they appear. And so the Lord wants us to study the scriptures. He wants us, you and I need to be on a continuous study of the Word of God, to get entrenched into the Word of God and learn. That's why he forms the church, where you come to be edified in God's Word, and we all grow together in knowing more and more about the Word of God, his salvation, what he expects from us, his will for our lives. And so we share those things continuously. So just a quick review of the various points on that salmon-colored piece of paper that you have there. The joy experienced at childbirth, when a mother has a child, and how much pain she goes through to birth that child, yet when that child is born, there is great rejoicing. And we then talk about how the Lord expects us to have joy and happiness in the midst of trials and tribulations, because there's a greater day coming. There's a happier day coming. And so we're going to suffer trials. You know, I sent you, most of you in this room, I've sent you a video by Dr. Simone Gold. She said something in that video. Well, she talked about another doctor who in Oregon, I don't know if you heard that video, she talked about a doctor in a doctor's office in Oregon where the doctor told his employees, we're not going to wear masks. I'm not going to force it on you to wear a mask. I'm not going to force it. If you want to, it's a voluntary thing, telling his staff and telling patients that came in, if you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. If you don't want to, we're not going to put pressure on you to do so. And the Oregon Medical Board stripped him of his medical license without a trial. Without a trial. Just stripped him because he advocated that position. You can't have a contradicting thought in this world today. You'll be censored. You'll be deplatformed. We all know, most of us know, when we learned about the frontline, America's frontline doctors back in July when they were having that white coat summit in Washington, D.C., how quickly information they were putting out, and they were putting out in matters of hours. They had tens of thousands of views when they gave that press conference on the steps of the Supreme Court building, and their platform was silenced. You remember Greg Leach was telling me about it. I was passing it on to other people, and I put Stella Emanuel in the subject column of my emails, and it was being sent back to me and told me it's undeliverable. How quickly, within this, while they were still having that conference, they were deplatformed. But before they were deplatformed, there were tens of thousands of people who were listening to them, and that's where I learned that you wearing the mask, the virus goes through that the pores of that mask. It doesn't stop. One of the doctors gave an illustration. He said it's like using a chain link fence to stop blowing sand. Some of the sand may get stopped, but most of it will pass through. And the mask that we wear, one of the doctors said, as a surgeon, I wear a mask one time. After that surgery, I dispose of that mask, and I use a very high-grade mask. What are we doing? We use it over and over and over and over again, and it becomes contaminated. You have contaminated hands. You touch your mask. You put your hands up to your ears, and you rub your eyes. You're touching money. You're touching things that are not sanitized. And so you have, but these doctors, they have a different view of the mask mandate, and they're deplatformed. They're censored. And so you can't have two opposing ideas. It's almost the same in the ministry. You can't have opposing ideas. And so you're deplatformed. You're not invited to preach at churches. You're escorted out the door. And so hardship. We're going to suffer hardship. Oh, Dr. Simone made the statement. She said, if you're going to take a stand, it's going to cost you. She was fired from two hospitals. She's a board-certified medical doctor who's an emergency room doctor. She was an emergency room doctor at two different hospitals. She also has a law degree, and her father was a surgeon, and she has a law degree. So she's a smart cookie. There's only a few handful of doctors that have a law degree, that can do both, have a law degree and a medical degree. And she said, you take a stand, and she says in that video, she got a call from higher up in her hospital and got mad at her because she cured somebody of COVID, this is early on last year, with hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and so she cured that person, got them well, and they went back home, and somebody higher up in the hospital got mad at her for using that treatment for people who had COVID. And she says, well, when you come to the science and understand this science, you'll understand what I'm doing. If the science proves that it's helping these people. But you know what her boss told her? And put it in writing, and she's suing the hospital, is the primary payer, the insurance company, said, no, we're not going to pay you if you use that treatment. Not because the science says that's not good. It's because the insurance company said, we're not going to pay you if you use that treatment on that individual. And so they fired her. And she says, so taking a stand comes with a cost. The Apostle Paul took a stand for Christ, and it came with a cost. He was stoned. He was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was a prisoner. He was ultimately beheaded by Nero. And so taking a stand on anything is going to take a cost. There's going to be a cost to it. You're going to lose prestige. You're going to lose friendships. You're going to lose. Any of us can ask Pastor Dixon, and when Dr. Dixon was here with us, he could have told you the many people that have departed from his fellowship over the years, especially the last 40 years when he took a stand on the unregistered church position. How lawyers were causing people to become fearful that the church was going to unincorporate itself, and you're going to become liable, and you're going to be in trouble, and they're going to come after you, and the IRS is going to come after you. And they stimulated and provoked this fear in the sanctuary, and people left. Fear. Instead of thinking, processing truth, and learning, they were instigated by fear. And so we learn the importance of all the trials and tribulations. We must remain positive, we must remain joyful, and not become hateful, though you sometimes want to. We've started learning what unity and plurality in unity is all about. And I gave you a list of many of those things last week, and we're not going to reiterate all those points. But I do want to point out, and let's see if I have it here with me, some other things that are found, and you won't have these in your notes. But I started thinking, my background is not biology, okay? I my background is engineering. I'm looking at, you know, inorganic things, not organic things. And so, but I started thinking, you know, plants have phloem and xylem, okay? All you biological people who understand those things, let's see if I can remember. I have to look it up here. The living tissue, the phloem, is the living tissue in a tree that transports the soluble organic compounds, sugar, and other metabolic products made during photosynthesis downward from the leaves. So phloem comes down from the leaves of a tree and nourish the tree from the photosynthesis process of those leaves. And the xylem moves in an upward direction from the roots and brings water and nutrients from the soil into the tree. And so you have this constant flow, and if you destroy one of the flow of the xylem or the phloem, the tree will ultimately die.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.